At the 2014 National Biodiesel Conference, I'm visiting with Kevin Ross. And first of all, Kevin, tell me a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Yeah, Chuck, I'm from southwest Iowa, right outside the Council Bluffs area. Underwood is my hometown. We farm down there, raise cattle. My wife and I, my wife Sarah, we've got two little boys, and we've been involved in ag industries, well, for a long, long time, it seems like, already.
So you grow corn, soybeans, and you're also involved in a processing plant.
Yeah, Western Iowa Energy, been involved with the plant in Wall Lake, Iowa. It's a little ways away from me, but been involved with them since really the inception of the company, and sat on the board there, and we're a 30-million-gallon plant. That's our nameplate capacity, and we're a multi-feedstock plant. So what that means is we've been able to we can take, you know, whether it's veg oil or animal fats, we've got a free fatty acid stripper column, so we can utilize a bunch of different feedstocks and create biodiesel.
We're just kind of at the beginning of this conference that's taking place here in San Diego, and what I would like to get is your takeaway from this morning session, let's say, where we're, you know, obviously a big focus is on policy and what's going on in D.C., but how to bring it back down to your level back at home. How important is that to you?
Well, the renewable fuel standard itself is vitally important to you know, my operation at home and all my neighbors' operations at home. Not just from the farming side, but also, you know, from the livestock side, where especially plants like my, you know, our own at Western Iowa, where we can utilize the fats and we're adding value back to the livestock. You know, it's really, you know, one of those things that, you know, I'm not sure how many people even know that that's possible, and let alone being done on an industrial scale. And, you know, those types of things where, you know, agriculture is about value added, and the more we can, you know, continue to create those markets and those new economies within, you know, within the broader ag industry, that's really what it's all about. And it's essential for us to just keep adding value on, you know, whatever way we can.
Well, even though we're at a biodiesel conference, we heard ethanol and corn talked about even in some of the panels earlier this morning. You're kind of involved in both worlds. I know you're serving on the National Corn Growers Board. And we know that corn oil is a very important feedstock, even into making biodiesel today. So the RFS, as we're seeing the challenges we're going through with that right now, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, growing corn for ethanol, let's say, or soybeans for biodiesel. I mean, it's very important to both of those commodities when it comes to this renewable fuels industry.
Yeah, that's completely true. It's you know, this policy it was groundbreaking in its day, and we're just getting to the point where this policy is got the teeth to move the needle really on biofuels. You know, we likely could have gotten to you know, this point at some point down the road. The RFS has made it happen faster, and we've gotten to a great volume of fuels right now, but if we don't move past that, then, you know, we're really stuck, and the innovation stops. You have the investment that stops in rural America, and you have a number of factors that really compound upon themselves. And I think you know, guys need to be aware that this is a very, very big problem if we have the RFS just dismantled, essentially, and we can't let that happen. I mean, that's essentially what it comes down to. We absolutely cannot let that happen, and you know, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure we can continue to continue and grow the standard.
So what kind of message, essentially, is our government sending back to the industry, you know, at the levels you're involved in, when you see what's now new uncertainty?
That's exactly right. It's sending a mixed signal, essentially. Because the current administration had been really a very good ally up until this point, and it just really sent, in my mind, a wrong signal. And I don't know, I'm not sure that they knew what they, you know, the type of signal they were sending when they came out with these RVO numbers. And it really, you know, there's always turnover within different, you know, different departments, and you know, maybe the people that were within their department at the time of this was conceived or now different. I, you know, I'm not exactly sure, but we really need, you know, have to go through that education process again. And you know, I think the policy was designed to do exactly what it was doing, and you know, that kind of pulled the rug out from underneath of it. So we just got to get that changed. We flat have to make sure these RVO numbers continue to ramp up, and we gotta loosen this hold that oil has. It's unfortunate, and you know, we've done a lot of great things to move the needle on usage in the U.S. and production, and made fantastic advancements within ethanol and biodiesel to create, you know, a more efficient product and better products. So it's just got to keep working.
Well, before we end here, let's touch on just kind of the technology you're using on your farm. I've had a chance to talk to some farmers here about this whole thing we call precision ag and where that's going and how they're incorporated in. Any comments you can make about it, what you guys are doing?
Oh, yeah. We've, on our farm, you know, it's been a really fast ramp up of precision technology. Just a couple years ago on our own farm, we've gone to the auto steer and I couldn't plant straight rows if I tried. I kind of I live in the hills, and we got terraces and auto steer's a godsend for me. But it's really amazing. We also use the single row shutoffs, which you know, also in my hills, we have a lot of point rows, and you know, I don't have square fields. I'm not blessed with that kind of ground, but you know, you'd waste a lot of seed. You'd waste you know, within those areas that you probably didn't waste any fertilizer because there's more plants there, and they probably utilized that, but they weren't going to produce the product. And so you know, you'd have a lot of little spots right in the end rows where you were wasting ground essentially in production. So that's been a huge plus for us. Just overall, you know, newer equipment, the tractors are more efficient. You know, we've got all our yield monitors and data that we have, the soil data. We're going into some new soil testing phase in our farm where we're trying to collect better data and just an entirely different way of doing it than you did before, where, you know, the grid sample and things like that. So major advancements in recent, you know, recent years, and, you know, profitability in ag, and the RFS has really had a huge role in creating that profitability. And if we didn't have that, it's really, you know, these things would happen, but it would be years and years down the road because guys can't afford to invest those type of dollars within their own operations. So it's created new efficiencies that are making everybody more profitable and more efficient themselves.
Yes, it's sometimes hard for the regulators to understand the impact of the regulations that they're overseeing, you know. Well, speaking about you know, planning decisions and things like that, you know, again, going back to biodiesel here, I did hear a speaker this morning talk about corn oil becoming an important feedstock. Any comment you can make about that?
Yeah, as I said before, our plant's multi-feedstock, and we've run some corn oil through our plant. It has its challenges. It has some waxes and has you know, just a different set of issues as any different veg oil has, but unique opportunities because there will be a, you know, a large volume of corn oil out there, steady supply type, you know, things like that obviously make, you know, industrial use is viable and make us look at, you know, using that product. So as with anything, you know, it takes time to figure out what the intricacies are of that corn oil, but certainly from a again, value-added standpoint, you got to like what the extraction of the corn oil is going to do for value of the corn product, and also, you know, separate value down the road in different value streams or product chains that you can move that corn oil into. So we're looking at a lot of that stuff. A lot of the industry is, and you know, we're going to see some major advancements with that in the near future, I think.
Well, thank you very much, Kevin, for visiting with me here.